We are working through this chapter. The individuals that are described in Hebrews 11 are referred to many times from folks as being in the Hall of Faith or the Saints Hall of Fame. Those are a couple of the many ways that this chapter has been described. But they make up this group of people. In fact, I told you Hebrews 11, but look at Hebrews 12 in verse 1. They make up this group of people that are so important to us today. Hebrews 12, 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us then lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." And so this group of people that we are describing here in Hebrews 11 and working through, they make up a cloud of witnesses that are there for us today to look to and to be encouraged by. As we run our race and we keep walking by faith, we can see their example and how God interacted with them and used them in great ways, and they didn't quit. And it's encouragement for us to not quit, because it is so easy to quit. If you're like I am, you're tempted all the time just to quit. It would just be so easy if we didn't have to do all the things that God wants us to do. If we could just live our lives however we wanted and there was no consequence for it, life would be so easy. That's what the evil one wants us to believe. And if we believe that lie, then we won't do what we're supposed to do. And we have an example this morning here of a man who, not a lot of detail, but a man who did what he was supposed to do. And he did it over and over and over again. This wasn't just a quick experience in his life. This was one season after another, a child of God doing what he was supposed to do. And I'm sure there were times when his faith would go through seasons, times of doubt. Jesus spoke to his disciples and would ask them on certain occasions, "O ye of little faith." So even those who walked with Jesus, who were seeing these amazing things happen, they experienced times in their life when their faith would get weaker. And Jesus would call them back to truth and what was real and confidence in him. And that's what we are to do through all the seasons, no matter what we are going through, to stay faithful to our God and stay courageous in his strength, as the songs all pointed to in the finished work of Christ. That's our hope. Hebrews 11, verse 5, is the focus point of the morning, and a man named Enoch. If you would look there, 11:5, it says, "By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God." And then our memory verse for the month kind of fits in with Enoch's life. "And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." By faith, Enoch. We are a few generations from Adam at this point. We have walked through the one specifically mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as we started the new year. And now we're to the seventh generation. And we have this man named Jared in verse 18, was the father of Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5 tells us that. And so we have a man who is only mentioned a couple times in the scripture. There's a reference to him in Jude, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But there's not much here. What we do know is that he was a man pleasing to God. That's what it says. By faith, Enoch, he experienced this amazing thing. He was taken up. He did not see death. And he obtained a witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So at the very basic level, this man pleased God with his life. And so should we. We should have that desire to please him. Now, verse 6 says it's impossible to please him without faith. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5, if you would, and we'll go back and kind of get the context of his life. We'll start in verse 18 as we find out about his father. Genesis 5, verse 18. Jared lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. Jared lived 800 years after he had become the father of Enoch, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and became a father. So here we have a man who 65 years of life, pretty full life up at that point, and God gave him a son. He was the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. So for 300 years, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier, this was not just a quick season of time in this man's life where he came to know the Lord and he had a short season of life. No, he walked with God for 300 years. Let that kind of settle into your mind this morning. If you think you're tired, some of you 20-year-olds are like, oh, life is so tough, and I have all these things. And you do, I remember, and I remember feeling the same way. A lot of responsibility, a lot of pressure with school, and you're tired. Compare that to 300 years. Let's go to the next category, those in their 30s and 40s. Some of you in your midlife, you're thinking, oh, is this all that there is? I can't do this anymore. I'm exhausted. Life did not turn out into the picture-perfect situation and setting that I thought it was going to be. I just don't know if I can go on. There's a lot more of a road to travel. You can. And those of you who are in the older stages of your life and just doing the little things around the house or your responsibilities, they wear you out and you get tired. This man, and I know things are very, very different. We're talking about people that lived 800 and 900 years, so I get all the context, right? But for 300 years, he walked with God. Like, he became a father at 65, and I don't know if that was a point in his life, but the scripture is very clear that he, from the point of fatherhood, walked with God for 300 years. So this is a story of endurance from my perspective. This is one where we see a man of God who was so strong in his faith, he just kept on going. And he kept on doing what he was supposed to do, day in and day out. It's a very general story. But it's one that can speak volumes into our lives no matter where you find yourself, in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, 50s, 60s, beyond, wherever you find yourself. It's this story of endurance that can encourage us as well to just keep looking to Jesus. Just keep going, keep going. I just want to look at three very simple descriptions of this man's life that, again, very general. But they can be very, very helpful to us today. Number one, very plainly, he lived a life of faith. But see, that's not real plain, actually. It's actually very difficult. For him to make it into this section of Scripture, where all of these people who were known for their strong faith in God, he lived a life of amazing faith. That's what Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch. And then it's described for us what his life and what a life of faith looks like. Right? In verse 1, it tells us that faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for. That there is this confidence in the truth that has been revealed, that what we see is not all that there is, but there's something else coming. Now, Enoch experienced this in an amazing way. Only one other person has experienced this, Elijah, where he did not see death. Enoch was taken up by God. So can you imagine the assurance of Enoch and then the realization of it 300 years later? Day in, day out, walking with God. His faith is significant, and your faith is significant. When God has worked in our lives to bring us to the point where we understand we need a Savior, and he gives us a clear view of ourselves and our sin, and he makes us alive into salvation. We were in a state of deadness, and God makes us alive, and he brings life to us, and he gives us faith to see that Jesus is the Messiah. That starts us on the process to where one day we're going to see God face to face. And faith is the assurance that what happened when you were converted, when that change happened in your life, when you were born again, as the Scripture says, when that happened in your life, it gave you the assurance that something coming is really, really great. That we are going to see our Savior face to face. It's the conviction of things not seen. It's assurance and conviction that there is something better. So he had strong faith, but it was in the object that we've been talking about, as it's described, as God the Creator is described in Hebrews 11:3, that he formed the world. So Enoch's faith was in the Creator. He believed that God existed, and that's our memory verse, that we must believe that God exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. This second portion of our memory verse has been something I've been meditating all week. It's that idea of God being a rewarder. And I was thinking back through my life and just kind of the emphasis that different movements have had. And I can remember, as a young child, I can remember this being talked about all the time, that God is a rewarder, and that we should be serious about our lives, and we should be working for God's glory, because there will be rewards in heaven. Now, sometimes the emphasis got way too much on the rewards, almost to the point where it's like people wanted to go heaven for the rewards, and oh yeah, Jesus was going to be there too. And so I think because of the imbalance that some of the things, and it may have just been the perspective that I grew up in and some of the teaching and preaching that I heard, but because of some of the imbalance, I think then there was a kind of a big shift back to really, and please don't get me wrong in any way, but it was like, heaven is Jesus, period. And heaven is Jesus. That's where he rules and reigns, and we're going to be there with him, and we're going to worship him forever. But sometimes in the reaction to maybe the imbalance, there was this emphasis where if you talked about rewards at all, it was like you really weren't that spiritual, because it's about Jesus and Jesus alone. And it is, please don't get me wrong. But this verse that we've been memorizing says that we must believe that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And there's multiple other verses, that say that God will reward those who seek Him, who serve Him, who walk with Him. And so when we look at this life of faith that Enoch had, remember, this verse is connected to his life. He believed that walking with Him day in and day out, that this actually would bring about something greater in the end. I try to be transparent in my preaching, and I try to tell you where I struggle and things like that. And even during the week, I think, should I have said that? That probably wasn't helpful. And I really do mean to be helpful when I'm transparent with you about this craziness that goes on in my mind every week. And in regards to this this idea, I from time to time will have these thoughts, and I know they're from the evil one, that, man, you've spent your whole life doing this. Is it really worth it? And I have all these, you know, these other thoughts that come into my mind as well. You guys are probably, some of you think he's absolutely crazy, but it's just how I'm wired. So I have these thoughts that come into my mind that if I had 9 lives, if I could do 9 different lives, and what would those be? Well, I can tell you one, but I want to plant myself right in the middle of a big city. Like, I could see myself living in the heart of New York City and just thriving in just a metropolis in that kind of a scene. But I also could see myself in Europe. And there are places in Europe where I've been. It's like, man, I could live a life here. And so I have these, like, variety of things that I think, man, if I was born in a different time and a different place, I've talked to you about the medieval times, that I think that would be really cool from time to time. But if I could just, you know, transport, and maybe I've seen too many movies, I don't know. But the evil one would love for me to believe that when I, at 18 years of age, gave my life to Christ, and then over the next few years, God worked in my life to give me a desire for ministry and totally radically changed. I was headed to pharmacy school. I was going to do something completely different. The evil one would love for me to believe, you know what? You made a mistake. Like, I don't know that it's really going to be worth it at the end. Those are the thoughts. And then I come back to, absolutely not. God has told me that He has a plan for my life, and He is sovereign, and He is Lord, and He is working all of His purposes, and that included me to do what I am doing currently. And I believe that God will reward me like He will reward you for what you are doing if you are following Him. But the temptation many times is to think, I don't know if it's real. Like a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name, I don't know if it's really going to be worth it. Enoch must have believed that not only God exists, but in his communion and his walking with Him, that there was going to be a reward at the end. And he saw it. He saw it. Here's some passages of Scripture that maybe will remind you. Matthew 6:20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break through and steal." It's direct instruction for us to live our lives for eternal purposes. Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and He will repay each person according to what he has done." Matthew 6:6, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." 1 Corinthians 3:8, "He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor," talking about those who serve God's church. Living a life of faith is not only believing that He is the Creator, but also believing that He is a rewarder. That He will reward the day in and day out walk with God. Don't quit. don't give up. Number two, very simply, I would say he lived a life communing with God. Not only did he live a life of faith, but he lived a life communing with God because the text tells us that he walked with God for 300 years. So, like, I wonder what it was like year 93 or 162 or 257 or 289. Like, was it different? Sometimes in our walk with God, in our communion, we want to see the big and we want to see these amazing things. There was a man in our church in Florida who really struggled. I worked with him for many, many years, and he really struggled with just Bible reading. And he would come to me and say, "And I don't understand it, and I don't have time." And he would provide all these excuses, and I kept telling him, "Keep reading your Bible. Keep reading your Bible. Keep reading your Bible." So many times we want, like, the big emotional experiences, and God wants us just to walk with him day by day. 300 years of walking with God day in and day out. Doesn't give us much detail about what this walking looked like, but it does seem to indicate it was a lifestyle. It wasn't a compartment. It wasn't a compartment that, you know, we live, you know, 6 days a week, and then we open it on the seventh, or on, you know, on Sunday, and we open that compartment and we start walking with God that day. I don't think that's what's described here. I think walking means a lifestyle. It means that we spend our time thinking about God and how he has revealed himself. We read his word. He's given us the truth. And we spend time seeking him. We pray to him. We communicate with him. And this is something that should be happening as part of our lives. It's our lifestyle. We walk with God. If you did not pick up your Bible this week, that is a problem. Let me say it again. If you did not pick up your Bible this week and spend time with Jesus, that is a problem for your spiritual lives. It is not what God intends for your relationship to look like with him. We should be meditating on truth. If you're following along in our Bible reading for the year for the church, we were in Deuteronomy this week. And it hit me over and over, and I would underline in my Bible how many times the children of Israel were encouraged to walk in the statutes of God. And there was this emphasis on the day in, day out, don't forsake, keep watch over your souls. All of these things described how people lived a lifestyle with God. There were not compartments. Now, what would happen is they would forget their God, they would forget what he had done, and God would bring them back in his love, sometimes through discipline. But what God revealed it should look like is a day in, day out communion with him. And Enoch did this for 300 years. You may be tired, but get up and read your Bible tomorrow. You may not feel like it, but spend time in prayer. If you don't put any fuel in your tank spiritually, you will not be able to fight the lies of the evil one. You will be very weak. Read your Bibles. God has revealed all that we need in his word. That's how he communicates with us. And we take his word, internalize it, meditate on it, hide it in our hearts so that we won't sin, and then we spend time seeking him. Remember, he's a rewarder of those who seek him. You need to draw near to God so he will draw near to you. You say, boy, you're putting a lot of emphasis on what you're supposed to do as a Christian. Absolutely, I am. It is God that works in us and through us for His good pleasure. I firmly believe that and understand that. But a life of faith is a life of action. There is a shape to it. It looks like something. And it looks like a life that walks with God day in and day out. No matter the struggle, no matter how hard it is, we keep walking with Him. He lived a life of communion with God. If your faith is weak, perhaps one reason is because you have spent little time allowing truth to traffic over your heart. And so the lies of the evil one are very loud in your life. And you're having a hard time fighting them. The lies are very loud in my life. But with the help of God through His Word, I fight those lies with truth. Absolutely, it's worth every moment to give your life to God. Absolutely, He is worth it. He is worthy. He is holy. Truth keeps us anchored in the midst of all of the other voices that are motivated by the evil one, the one voice that wants us to question everything. Deuteronomy 5:33, you shall walk in the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you might live and it may be well with you. Did you catch that? Walk in the ways of God and it will be well with you. That doesn't mean there's an absence of trial. That doesn't mean that you're going to get rich. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be picture perfect, but everything will be well with you because your soul will be healthy. To walk with God means you align your will with His will, and it's very clear what His will is right here. But as God's people, we have to be in it. So he lived a life of faith. He believed that God existed, but he also believed that God was a rewarder. He lived a life of communing with God, and lastly, he lived an outward testimony. His faith was something public. In Jude 14, I mentioned it earlier, this is what it says about Enoch. It was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds which they had done in an ungodly way and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners had spoken against him. So you have the whole amount of Revelation, all the Bible. There's one other reference about this man apart from him walking with God. And that was that he prophesied. He publicly warned. Jude uses him as an example, as someone who preached, who warned, that God was a God that judges. And in the day in which Enoch lived, the effects of the fall had been felt and were growing because he's just one generation away from Noah and the destruction's coming. God's judgment is coming. The ways of men, the evilness of men, was spreading rapidly. That was the context in which Enoch lived. It wasn't like this picture-perfect Garden of Eden. No, it was actually pure wickedness. That was the culture in which Enoch lived, which makes it so helpful for us in 2020. When we look around and we think, oh, this is the worst time that ever lived, actually, it's not. There was a time when God completely wiped everyone out, and that was shortly before this, when Enoch walked the earth. And in the midst of all the wickedness, in all of the anti-God everything, Enoch walked with God because he believed that God existed. And he believed that God was a rewarder, like it was bigger than the here and now. It was bigger than all the voices. It was bigger than any mob or group or any group that would say something contrary. He believed that God was a rewarder of those who seek him. Maybe there's a young third or fourth grade boy or girl here today listening. And you would say, I would love to be like Enoch. And if God were to give you 70 or 80 years, as a young person, you would say, I want to walk with God at my funeral. That's what I once said. And you, as a young person, would resist all the temptations. And they're real. And the struggle is real for you. And all the voices that are contrary to this voice. Imagine a life well lived, starting now, young person. Why do you have to go through all the hardship and all the scars? Walk with God now. And those of you who are at another stage of life and you're walking with him, don't quit. Don't quit. Spurgeon, before he died, said this: when you see my coffin carried to the silent grave, I should like every one of you, whether converted or not, to be constrained to say, he did earnestly urge us, in plain and simple language, not to put off the consideration of eternal things. When he went to the grave, what he wanted everyone to remember about him, he warned them not to put off eternal things, real things. Even though you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not real. Enoch lived a life of faith. He lived a life of communion with God. He lived a life of outward testimony. And at the end, God took him. So the effects of the fall that we're seeing, if you look in Genesis 5, it says, so-and-so, and he died. So-and-so, and he died. So-and-so, and he died. Starting from Adam, working way through. You get to Enoch, and he was not. For God took it. That must have been the coolest thing. Maybe God gave him warning. Hey, tomorrow's the day. I'm going to take it. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I do know God rewarded him for his strong faith. And he is still experiencing, as part of that cloud of witnesses today, the glories of heaven. And he thought 300 years was long. Imagine eternity. Imagine eternity. It's a time for courage right now. It's a time for courage. It's a time for strength in the Lord. And it's a time for obedience. We walk with him. We walk in his ways. We listen to his voice and we obey. That's the shape of our faith. You may be here this morning. You don't even know Jesus. You're visiting. You're not sure about all this. If you hear anything from me this morning, please hear a warning. There is something after death. You will meet your Creator, your Judge. And you can meet him with confidence and assurance. If you will look to his gift that came in the form of his son Jesus. If you will look to Jesus Christ today, you can be saved. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. It's as simple as that. God can change your life today. You can be born again by just calling on the name of the Lord. And you can experience what Enoch is experiencing today. And for the child of God that's tired, that's weary, because you're in, I don't know, let's say year 22, maybe you're year 35 of walking with Jesus, don't quit. Get up Monday, open your Bible, seek the Lord. Get up Tuesday, open your Bible, seek the Lord. A people of faith are a people who spend time with their God, believing what he has said. So maybe you just need to start cracking your Bible. I don't know what your specific need is today, but God does. So with your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just respond to the truth of the morning? We all respond to God's truth one way or the other, and I'm going to call you to response that's appropriate. And that's to heed the Spirit, listen to the Spirit, as he has revealed God's truth in his word. Will you submit and follow? God, we're a people of faith. We believe that you exist. We believe you're the creator of the world and you created us. We believe that life is not about us, but it's about you, that you should be in the center of everything that we do. We also believe that you're a rewarder of those who seek you, that you will be faithful to your promises, that one day we will see you face to face, and we will enter heaven's glory, experiencing all the things that we don't know. But we can be assured of now. You never go against your promises. You're a faithful God. So help us in 2020 to be courageous in our faith, living lives, believing who you are, walking with you, and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that we come in contact with. God, we need your help. Many of us this morning are tired. Would you strengthen your people to just keep walking with you? God, we trust you, and we're thankful for what you're doing in our midst, and we ask you to continue for your glory. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.